Want to play some classic radio?
I do. I'm excited. This is a great night.
All right. So Songs by Sinatra. That was Frank's radio show. It was a musical variety show. Came to radio in 1942. It lasted 1 year till 1943 in a 15-minute format. So Sinatra had celebrity guests on it in a mix of music and patter. Then in 1945, it was revived as a half-hour show sponsored by Old Gold Cigarettes. Bill Goodwin, the Pied Pipers, Axel Stordahl, and his orchestra. Marvin Miller was the announcer. And it, again, he had featured guests. Now, this the ratings showed that Songs by Sinatra, Lisa, had the largest number of women listening per radio set. 1.43 women were listening to him.
I understand
that. So, yeah, it was an interesting statistic.
Sure.
It was Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Now, this series lasted till 1947. So we're spotlighting Frank Sinatra on this Saturday edition of the WGN Radio Theater. We have three shows that he starred in, and let's tune this in now. Songs by Sinatra going back to October 17th, 1945. His special guest is Gene Kelly. Here's part one now of Songs by Sinatra.
Now I can listen to Frank Sinatra.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you, neath the moon or under the sun.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Frank Sinatra, whose role of Clarence Doolittle in Anchors Away has all 48 states agog. Well, all 13 colonies, anyway. Frankie, Manhattan welcomes you home, and while in town, we hope you'll bump into your friend and sidekick in Anchors Away, now a lieutenant in the Navy, Gene Kelly, the terrific gob who did the terrific job of Sailor Joe Brady in the picture.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill Lazar, and hello to the old hometown. Brother, you know, coming to New York surely makes a guy feel like singing. Why, I feel so much like singing that I think I'll take singing lessons. Well, sir, Axel Stordahl, the mighty Axel, lined up most of the music from the picture Anchors Away, and I've been in New York 1 minute and they're hissing me already.
Clarence Doolittle, it's me!
Joe Brady!
Frankie Sinatra!
Lieutenant Gene Kelly! Gene,
this is
wonderful!
I mean you're looking swell! Well, for... Listen, how many times have you seen Anchors Away?
Hey, desist, terminate. In other words, stop it.
Why, Frankie, what's the matter?
Are you kidding, lad? The way you stole Anchors Away, I gotta watch it. You don't run off with my radio show. But, Gene, I hear some great things about you. Like every guy in Navy Blue, you've been doing a wonderful job for Uncle Sam.
Oh, thanks, Frank, but let's talk about you. Now, how was the trip in from the coast?
Oh, not bad at all. I had good accommodations. You know those upper berths?
Gee, did you manage an upper berth?
Well, not exactly. I had that little hammock where you put your shoes.
Well, of course, you've got connections.
Oh, sure, sure.
But how about a hotel room? You know, Frank, New York is awful crowded right now.
He's telling me New York is awful crowded. Last night, I slept in Grand Central Station.
Where'd you sleep, on a bench?
Not me, Mac. I played it smart. I put a coat hanger inside my coat and hung myself up in one of those baggage lockers.
That's a lonely way to spend an evening.
Not at all. The mighty Stordahl had the locker next to me, and we hung up all night rehearsing the music for Anchors Away.
Well, Frank... Let's hear how it sounds.
That's my mission in life.
What makes the sun set? What makes the moon rise? What makes the tide remember to hide? And why does it soon rise? What makes a star fall? Where does it fall to? Why does its flight make us stop in the night and wish as we all do? And why? cloud together. What makes the sky so blue? What makes the sun set? What makes the moon rise? Is it my love for you? The sun set, what makes the moon rise? Is it my love for you?
Piper, swell. Gene Kelly, did you approve?
Approve? Say, Frank, those Pipers are sensational. They're great entertainers.
Well, you know, Daddy J.G., you're not so bad yourself. Neighbors, Gene's smiling that modest Kelly smile. Just his little way of saying, go on, I love it.
Frankie, I'm not that way at all. And furthermore, you are not the kind of a guy who played Clarence Doolittle in Anchors Away.
Now, hold on. Just what are you driving at, Mac?
Well, in Anchors Away, you played Clarence Doolittle, a sweet, modest sailor who's never been away from his chief petty officer.
So? I played a sweet, modest kid. So what?
I see. You are a sweet, modest kid.
Well, Gene, you got to admit one thing about Anchors Away. Director George Sidney did some pretty good casting. To be perfectly honest with you, I felt pretty much at home as Clarence Doolittle, the shy little violet from Brooklyn.
Shy little... Oh, my.
And as Joe Brady, the wolf, you were only playing your very true self.
Frankie, how you exaggerate. You're just saying that.
Because it's true. And we'll let the radio audience decide whether you're a wolf or not. We'll do that scene, we will.
Take it easy, hey. What scene do you mean?
You know, the scene from Anchors Away where all of us sailors get off the boat and everybody gangs up around the payphone to hear you, the master, call up your girl, Miss Lola Laverne. Here's the master at work, folks.
Hello? Miss Laverne? Miss Lola Laverne? Ah, is this the face that launched 1,000 ships? Uh-huh. Well, who would you rather be talking to than anyone you know, huh?
See what I mean, folks? There should be a bounty on this boy.
Yeah? Yeah, it's Joe, all right. Mm-hmm. No, you're not kidding, baby. That'll be a couple hours, baby. Can you wait?
She'll be a fool if she doesn't.
What's that, Lola? Some dope here is beating his gums. Huh? Oh, sure, honey. Sure. I know what you mean, all right. Sure, but you just try to, huh? Oh, let's decide all that later, honey. After 8 months at sea, all I want to do is just look at you for a long, long time.
All right, that's the first portion of Songs by Sinatra, October 17th, 1945. Frank's special guest, Gene Kelly. And someone posted a picture, right, Lisa, on our Facebook page?
Right, that appears that it was taken during this segment, Songs by Sinatra.
So this actual show we're listening to, there's a picture taken by somebody at the time that the show was on, and one of our listeners posted it on our Facebook page. So you can just go to Facebook and search us at WGN Radio Theater. Right?
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf, we are going to tune into the conclusion to Songs by Sinatra. Then here's Suspense and Burns and Allen, but I want to talk a little bit about Mee's Meals. What did you cook this week, Mee's Meals? I had the calzone.
No, I didn't have the calzone this week.
Mike, what about you?
Oh, I know. Sorry, I just remembered.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. It had rice and beans and sweet potatoes in this delicious sauce with feta cheese in it. I know that sounds unusual. It was absolutely delicious. I made it myself, so I was really proud.
Delicious has 4 syllables, I think.
Delicious is 3.
3 syllables,
but yeah. You were close.
Yeah. I'm always wondering how many syllables, because she...
Carl has a lot of questions.
Did you ever take a speech class, ever?
A speech class?
Because you don't need to. You have a very, your diction is very good, Lisa.
Well, that's why I'm on the radio.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
So, I wonder if does Roger Badish know about Mee's Meals? Roger, do you know about Mee's Meals?
I've heard you talk about it many times.
All right.
Well, it's time to order some Mee's Meals and let us know what you think.
Listen, you can have dinner for two absolutely free. This is a special that they have for everyone listening. So if you are out there and want to try Mee's Meals, there's no obligation. There's no strings attached. You get dinner for two delivered to your door absolutely free. There's no cost for delivery. There's no cost for anything. Just go to Mee's Meals.com, and that's spelled MEEZ Meals.com. Go to Mee's Meals.com and make sure you enter promo code radio.
It's posted on our Facebook. So if you weren't listening to anything that Carl said,
right,
you can go to our Facebook page and look for Mee's Meals, and you can enter promo code radio, and you can see some of the dishes that I made during the week.
Yeah, just there's pictures up there. Mike, what did you have this week?
I had a bistro steak with pesto penne.
Ah.
And I posted that as well on our Facebook page, so you
very,
can see what it looks
very
like.
Very good. All right, so once again, it's MEEZ Meals.com. Please go there, check it out, and take advantage of this limited-time offer. No strings attached, no obligation. Just get a dinner for two. You can check out, there's like 10 things that you can order. Just go to their menu and look at pick a dinner for two and have it delivered right to your door.
It comes to your door on Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
So you're set for the week.
All right, very good. Let's get back to this now. October 17th, 1945, the conclusion to Songs by Sinatra.
All right, Sinatra, all right. Make fun of a guy with a problem.
You a problem? Oh, you kid, what's your problem, Gene?
Well, I fall in love too easily, which is your cue to sing,
well, thanks
two-ton.
A lot, buddy boy.
I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love too terribly hard for love to ever last. My heart should be well schooled, 'cause I've been fooled in the past, and still I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast.
Hey, Gene, remember that scene in Anchors Away when we came back to the dormitory after our first night of shore leave?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and instead of getting our two dates, we had gotten involved with a little kid on his way to join the Navy.
Then the cops dragged boy and us off to the city Bastille.
Yeah, us being sailors, the coppers decided we could convince the Moppet that the Navy wasn't taking five-year-olds.
So we took the youngster home and tucked him into bed while you sang him and me to sleep.
True.
Our first night of shore leave and completely wasted.
Oh, but of course you had to live up to your reputation as a wolf, or the rest of our outfit would have laughed you right out of town. Anyway, when we got back to the dormitory, you could tell by the looks on the guys' faces that they had had a pretty dull evening, too. And did you ever give out with the hot air?
Hey, I was wasting a whole evening.
Hi there, fellas.
Hey, what's with you guys? You got a grudge against the bright lights? Why aren't you out there with that bucket of red paint, huh?
First time to leave you guys?
Yeah.
How'd you make out?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny. We ran into some trouble. We had to take a little kid home.
And what a little kid. Oh, boy. And when we got her home, what another little kid she had waiting for. Oh, boy. What a town.
How do you like that? I walk my feet off and end up with a glass of beer.
Oh, brother, you must be living wrong. In my whole life, I never stumbled across anything like those two dames. That blonde. Not that there was anything wrong with that redhead of yours, Brooklyn.
Redhead? Me?
Pick it up.
Oh, sure, that redhead. I'll say, boy, she was very interesting, all right.
Where'd you meet him, huh?
Yeah, come on, no kidding, where? Hollywood
sorry,
and Vine?
Bud, I'm sorry, it's a trade secret.
What
Check
I want to know
later,
is...
sailor.
What I want to know is, what came of it all?
Yeah, come on, give, will you, give?
What came of it? Clarence, shall we tell him?
Yeah, go ahead, you can tell him.
I begged her.
That's the way he started.
Then I pleaded.
You should have seen this boy.
I told her, baby, come out of your shell.
Tell us more.
I told her, maybe you'll find that it's swell. I argued.
You never saw such a stubborn dame in your whole life.
I didn't, anyway.
I threatened.
This guy's got muscles, too.
I said, you can't send me home, not like this.
And?
And
I finally got that kiss.
Tell him, Clarence. Sing it, Clarence.
She begged me.
True? Oh, true, true.
She pleaded.
Got down on her bended knees for the guy.
She told me, baby, come out of your shell. You'll find that it's swell.
Tell him, Clarence.
I'm telling him. She argued.
She fought like a wild
cat. She scratched me, too.
Yeah.
She threatened.
Almost drew a gun on a kid.
She said, you can't send me home. Not like this. She finally got her.
Kelly, look at those magic feet. Taught me how to dance, this boy. I do the stuff too, you know. Not good, but loud.
Take it, Frankie, take it. The most complicated step in the whole routine. Look at that Sinatra go. Look at him go, boy. Oh, how he does it.
What happened?
The drummer dropped the tap shoes you were supposed to have on your feet.
Oh.
I said you can't send me home, not like this. And I finally got that
charm of you is comparable to a Christmas tree with toys, with little girls and boys when first they see the tree. The thrill of you is comparable to the thrill I felt when I first learned a heart could sigh, and you were the reason why. If we two had never met, I'd know your grace, that warmth of face that only the angels get. And so comparing you with all of these things is all because they add up to the charm of you. Because they add up to the charm.
Frankie, that was mighty fine. I want to compliment you.
Well, thank you very much, Gene.
And Frank, one thing more. Last night, I caught you in a movie short called The House I Live In. And I'm proud of you, Frank, because that short will make a big contribution to the cause of tolerance.
Tolerance. That's something you fellows in the Navy just got through fighting for.
And what's more, side by side with all nationalities and all religions. You know, during this war for survival, there wasn't time for intolerance. America was caught unprepared, and there was only time to work and to fight.
And speaking of tolerance, neighbors, every one of us knows this, that God never meant for any man to fight for freedom and have any part of that freedom denied him by the country for which he fought. Well, Gene, my pal, my bosom friend, we always get to a point on this Wednesday night where we find it very necessary to
put your dreams away for another day. And I will take their place in your heart, wishing on a star never got you far. And so it's time to make a new start. When your dreams at night fade before you, then I'll have the right to adore. Let your kiss confess this is happiness, darling, and put all your dreams away.
Say, Gene.
Yes, Frank?
Will you please thank the United States Navy for letting you out tonight? Because, honest, we're plenty grateful.
I certainly will, Frank, because I had a mighty good time. It was swell to kid around with you again.
Likewise. Speaking of the Navy, October 27th is Navy Day, isn't it?
That's right.
And, folks, if we're thankful for that great gift of victory which came on VJ Day, well, we can show our thanks on Navy Day to the greatest sea and air force the world has ever known, and one of the greatest assets any democracy has ever known. Thanks again, Lieutenant Gene Kelly, and so long, bud.
So long, Frank.
Same to you folks out there. Good night, hey.
Next Wednesday and every Wednesday is the night for Songs by Sinatra. The Frank Sinatra Show is written by Glenn Wheaton and produced and directed by Man Holliner. Bill Lazar speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
More than a few females in that audience there, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Definitely.
Bobby Soxers, as they were called back in those days. I don't think they're called Bobby Soxers anymore. Lisa, do you wear Bobby Socks? Or have you ever?
Have I ever? Of course.
You have?
I think so.
Mike, have you?
No.
Okay, good. That's Songs by Sinatra, October 17th, 1945, special guest Gene Kelly. And that was originally sponsored by Old Gold Cigarettes, but Mike did a really nice job, removed all of those cigarette commercials. We can't play cigarette commercials on the radio, so we removed them. They were talking about Anchors Away, a movie that they both starred in, Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly. And I hope you enjoyed that program. We're going to have a suspense episode with Frank Sinatra called To Find Help from 1945. Then he guests on the Burns and Allen Show. That's all coming your way. You're on the WGN Radio Theater, but first let's take a break. You know, if Mies Meals were around back in 1945, I bet you Frank Sinatra would have ordered a dinner for
yeah?
two.
Yeah, what do you think he would have ordered?
Probably, you know, steak. I could see him.
Steak. Steak and potatoes kind of a guy.
Yeah, he's a steak and potatoes guy. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I could agree with you on that.
You know, I think Frankie would have picked up the phone and...
He didn't go for the tofu rice bowl.
He wouldn't have been able to go online because they didn't have internet back then. But if there was internet, we're using suspended belief here.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, if there was an internet back in 1945, Frank would have said, let me go on this Mies Meals website here, MEEZ.com, MiesMeals.com. And then he would have looked through and said, hey, dinner for two delivered to my house, absolutely free for all my WGN listeners. Why not?
It's a deal.
All right, so do that. Go to MiesMeals.com, as Frank Sinatra would have. Just go to MEEZMeals.com, pick a dinner for two, and have it delivered to your door, no strings attached, and no cost. It's a special offer, a limited-time offer, brought to you by Mies Meals, one of our sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater. We also have a website and a Facebook page, and Mike will tell you all about that.
Yes, we do have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. It's a good way to communicate with us. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you think about the show. And we also do have a website, WGNRadioTheater.com.
Yeah, and at our website, there's 1,000 pictures and growing of Lisa, because I think she just took another picture of herself.
Well, you know what? I'm hoping people will text in. This is our newest technology of the night. We're checking our texts at 312-981-7200, and we'd love to hear from you that way as well. I promise I read all of the texts.
They gave Lisa another job here.
She
now handles the texts. I think that's because you just turned 21, right?
So
you can handle the texts?
It's my birthday today.
Very good. Lisa, yeah, nice, Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Carl.
A new toy.
Yep.
A new toy for Lisa. Lisa likes technology.
You know, it's the simple things that mean so much sometimes.
I'm literally terrified of technology. I run from technology.
I just like to hear from our listeners. I like to talk to them.
My daughter, Rachel, is always like, Dad, can you download this app? Because then we can play this game together. And I'm like, I don't have any apps on my iPhone.
You don't have any apps?
No, I don't have one app. I don't even know what an app really is. I've heard about it.
Right.
I've heard that it's short for application, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. And so I don't have any apps on my iPhone.
Okay.
It's appless.
Yeah.
This is true. I can vouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. I believe him.
I can't understand what an app does.
Luckily you have Mike.
It's always the worst when he gets a new phone because that's a whole mess.
Oh, gosh.
That's not good. All right, when we come back from the news, we're going to tune into a suspense episode with Frank Sinatra. You won't want to miss that. And there's pictures on our Facebook page of all of these shows that we're playing, so make sure you go there. And then it's the Burns and Allen Show with Frank Sinatra from 1946. All right, about 8 minutes after midnight, happy Sunday, and we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we'll be right back here like 20 hours later or something like that. One of these days I'm going to figure out exactly how many hours it is. Don't tell me because I don't trust you, Lisa.
Don't worry,
I
won't.
You love to throw me a curveball.
Me?
Lisa's
Would
a
curveball. Would I do that?
If you were a pitcher, you'd be a curveball pitcher. You know that?
You got to shake things
throw
up a little bit.
Throw a spitball once in a while, too, probably.
that's kind of fun.
And Lisa loves it when I don't know how many hours till we come back. But we're here tonight. We'll be here at 11 o'clock, right?
Right.
I check with you.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
And we're going to spotlight Orson Welles and... let me see, tomorrow or tonight. Well, see, hang on.
In a few hours.
Yeah,
tonight.
In 20 hours. We're going to tune into Orson Welles' Mercury Theater on the Air, a half-hour program, the summer series, and then Suspense, and then the Fred Allen Show. But tonight, still, we are going to tune in, or this morning, we're going to tune in to two more Frank Sinatra programs. In this hour, we're going to hear Suspense. You're going to love that. And then Frank guests on the Burns and Allen Show. All of this brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
The action thriller Collide is about a heist that goes terribly wrong and a man finds himself on the run from a mob boss played by this actor.
Okay. You will win a $25 gift card from Lou Malnati's Pizza if you can identify this celebrity. The number 312-981-7200. Here's a audio clip hint. This actor starred in 2012's Hitchcock.
All of us harbor dark recesses of violence and horror.
All right, if you know who that is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner.
We're back. We're playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's hear that movie clip again.
All of us harbor dark recesses of violence and horror.
Oh, I love that voice. We've got Mary from Antioch. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, good to hear from you.
And that would be Sir Anthony Hopkins.
You are right. Doesn't he have a gorgeous voice?
He has a great voice.
He does. Well, you know, Carl has a good voice. It's kind of similar to Anthony Hopkins.
See, but you said he has a great one, and then you said mine is only good. So.
I meant great.
Oh, okay.
Great is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Give me a demotion.
No. Great is great.
Thank you.
Is great. You are a winner, Mary. You have won a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. And you can check out their menu at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much. Don't laugh at me, Carl. Who's laughing?
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mary.
Our listeners are so smart. They call and they get it right. I mean, every single time.
Yeah, well, they know their stuff.
They really, really do. I love
it. That's because I'm giving them the answers.
Oh, either that or maybe only the people that call in are the ones that know the answers.
They know the answers, though. It's amazing to me. I mean, because these aren't always easy. I mean, sometimes, I mean, that one.
I try not to make
it. I mean,
too
that
difficult.
One's a little bit difficult because he's not even doing his regular voice. He's doing an Alfred Hitchcock voice, you know?
Yeah, I'm not trying to stump them. I'm trying to make them winners here.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins. Remember The Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, my gosh.
Are
you kidding me?
Yeah. What was his line in that about fava beans? He's like, I ate his liver with a nice Chianti or something like that. I did that movie. If
that was like before Shane. Like Shane is 24,
Shane's
right?
Over
Shane,
there going,
he's
I don't know
so young.
What you're talking about. That was one of the creepy. I remember seeing it in the movie theater.
I know, I've seen it
a
few times.
I was flipped out when I saw that movie.
Yeah, very memorable. You should watch it, Shane.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs.
I can't handle that. See, my thing is with horror movies and stuff, I can't.
No, it's not a horror movie.
Yeah, it's a horror movie.
It's still like psychological thriller.
Yeah,
right?
It's exactly.
I can't tell myself that something like that would probably never happen, so I'm just assuming that the next time I'm in any situation, that will happen to me.
All right, I hear you.
It's a horror movie because it's horrific. I mean,
it's horrific, but more of a psychological thriller.
No, you're right.
To
I mean,
me.
It's not like. Per se, a horror film,
right.
You know, where that's made to where they're all in a cabin and there's a crazy person with a meat cleaver.
Coming out.
Yeah, it's not like that. But anyway, all right, let's tune into an episode of Suspense. And speaking of Alfred Hitchcock, he was the reason why they created this show back in 1942. They really conceived this program as a potential vehicle for Alfred Hitchcock to direct. They thought, hey, Alfred Hitchcock, greatest director in the movies. Let's get him on radio. He'll direct a radio series. Didn't work out. He directed the pilot episode on Forecast, and then he just was off making his films. It came to radio in 1942, lasted until 1962. It's considered by many to be the best mystery drama series of the golden age of radio. It was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And it had suspenseful thrillers, that's for sure. And all the best stars wanted to be on this show, including Frank Sinatra. He appears on this episode now called To Find Help. Also in the cast, Agnes Moorehead. She was on more suspense episodes, I think, than any other actress as far as in a lead role. You know, she did a lot of lead performances here. She's a co-lead. And she, of course, was Endora on Bewitched.
Yes.
So this is going back to January 18th, 1945. Here is Frank Sinatra in To Find Help on Suspense.
Suspense. Tonight, To Find Help, starring Frank Sinatra and Agnes Moorehead.
My roomer, Mr. Armstrong, tried to warn me that morning he left on his business trip. I remember we were just finishing breakfast and he was rather in a hurry.
I don't care what you say, Mrs. Gillis. I just plain don't like it. You're alone here in the house all day. There are no close neighbors. After all, you know nothing about the man.
Good gracious, Mr. Armstrong. You'd think I was a pretty young thing of 20 to hear you tell it.
And another thing. Seems very strange to me that a young man should be job hunting from door to door in this day and age. Why, there are plenty of jobs to be had.
This is why it's so difficult to find help these days. Oh, you're a worrywart, Mr. Armstrong. And now that I've found someone to do my heavy work, I'm not going to let your silly notions change my mind.
All the same, though, I'm not leaving the house this morning till I get a look at the guy.
I remember I kept worrying about poor Mr. Armstrong missing his train because it was getting to be 9 o'clock. He dried the breakfast dishes for me, and as he talked, he kept looking out of the window towards the long driveway.
Hey, huh? Here he comes. Well, I guess I needn't have worried.
Mr. Armstrong was smiling, for he'd seen my young man who was coming up the driveway. And I smiled, too. Even I had forgotten what a meek, harmless-looking lad he was. Why, he could hardly be called a man at all, I thought.
So that's the critter who's been causing me all this mental anger.
There. You see, you and your silly ideas.
Why, the little guy's not strong enough to keep a regular job, I suppose.
Why, I believe Sarah's getting some of your foolish notions, Mr. Armstrong.
There now, Sarah. I'm sorry that we made you nervous about him. Why, you could see the guy.
Shh, he can hear you. Oh, good morning. I've been expecting you. This is my roomer, Mr. Armstrong. I don't believe you told me your name.
I'm Howard Wilton, ma'am.
Hello, Howard. I'm glad you've come. I know you'll be a great help to Mrs. Gillis. And you'll be company, too. Well, I'm off. Take care of yourself. I don't think you'll have much trouble.
I don't believe your dog likes me, Mrs. Gillis.
Yes, of course she does, but she's just getting a little old and peevy.
Oh.
Come along now, Howard, and I'll show you where to hang your coat.
Yes. Oh, yes. I always hang my coat up.
He followed me into the closet storeroom at the back of the house. Then I handed him a clothes hanger and a rough, heavy apron, which I kept for cleaning help.
Is this apron clean, Mrs. Gillis?
Why, of course it's clean. No one's worn it since it was laundered last.
There are spots on it. See?
Spots? Look here. Let me look at it. Oh, but that's paint. No dirt and dried paint.
If you don't mind, I'd rather not wear it.
Well, what do you wear then? You didn't bring other clothes, did you?
I'm a neat worker, Mrs. Gillis. You needn't worry about my clothes. No.
I turned, and the light hitting his face from the small window made him look so different. I was startled for a moment, and then I thought, you're a silly old woman, Mrs. Gillis. And then I smiled.
Are you laughing at me, Mrs. Gillis?
Oh, why, no. I was laughing at myself. Come along. Let's get started now. He'd only been at the den floor a short time when I heard him walk back to the closet storeroom. Can I help you, son?
I'm going after my coat, Mrs. Gillis. I don't like it being out there in the storeroom. It's a breeding place for moths, you know.
Oh, now, son, it takes longer than that for moths to do any damage.
Perhaps you won't think it's quite so amusing when I tell you that it's my best and only coat.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Howard. Where would you like to put it? In the kitchen, perhaps?
No, the cooking fumes wouldn't be good for it. I'll take it right in the den with me. That is, if you don't mind.
Oh, go right ahead, Howard.
If you don't mind.
Suddenly, I was thankful that there was a phone. He was such a peculiar boy. I wasn't really alarmed. Not then, I wasn't. Still, it was good to know the phone was there. And that old Sarah was still in the breakfast room asleep. I went on about my own work that morning, but several times I went into the den to have a look at him. He wasn't doing much, I could see that. He seemed to keep polishing one small square in the corner of the room. Is there anything you need, Howard? Howard?
I won't be spied upon, Mrs. Gillis. I won't put up with that.
Well, see here, lad. I think we must have gotten off on the wrong foot. I'm not spying on you.
Then why do you keep popping in like this?
Why,
would you like me to go faster? Would you like me to spill out my life's blood for you here on the floor? Is that what you're after?
Howard, are you well? Are you well enough to work?
Of course I'm well. If only you'd quit bothering and pestering and questioning me. Is that too much to ask?
Well, look, Howard, I'm interested in young men. I have two boys of my own. They're in the service. You see that bill on the desk there? He's a Marine. And on the table there, that's Dennis. He's in the infantry. He's overseas.
So that's why you hate me. I see it all now.
Hate you? Well, whatever gave you that?
Yes, you hate me. I could tell it the moment I walked into this house this morning.
But how
you hate me because I'm young and I'm not in the service like your boys.
Why? Why, it never occurred to me. You must know I was grateful when you came looking for work.
Grateful? You resented me. The only reason you have me here is to work my life's blood away. To punish me for not being in the service just because your sons are in the service and I'm out.
Son, you're ill. Let's put the work away now, and I'll make a cup of tea.
Oh, so you don't want me to do the job, is that it? You're like the army. There was a job to be done, and they wouldn't let me in. Now you'd like to stop me in the middle of this.
I only want you to do whatever will make you feel better.
Well, leave me alone, then. Mrs. Gillis.
Yes?
I'll tell you why I'm not in the army, if you insist.
I don't insist at all, Howard.
If you must know, I'll tell you. They said there was something wrong with my mind. Yes, I just thought maybe you'd like to know, Mrs. Gillis. They said there was something wrong with my mind.
The first thing that I thought of when I reached the hallway was the phone, but it was in the den with Howard. I ran quickly to the back door, but it was locked and the key wasn't in its usual place. The front door. It was locked, too. And I heard a crash. It came from the den. I rushed in to find Howard peacefully polishing away at the same spot. He hadn't moved an inch. He didn't look up at me. Then I saw the phone which had fallen to the floor beside him. But it hadn't just fallen. The wires had been torn out of the wall.
The phone, Mrs. Gillis, it fell.
The wires.
I suppose you think I ruined your phone.
The wires?
That happened when it fell to the floor.
It couldn't have.
That happened when it fell to the floor.
But it couldn't have.
I don't suppose you'll be able to use it anymore, Mrs. Gillis. Not for a while, anyway.
No, I don't suppose I will. Sarah! Here, Sarah! Here, Sarah!
Mrs. Gillis.
Yes?
You looking for your dog?
Yes, I haven't seen her all morning. She was in the breakfast room.
Well, she's not there any longer.
Yes, I know. Where is she, Howard?
Where is she?
Yes, where is she?
She's gone.
Gone? If you've harmed her...
She didn't like me, you know.
See here, I've put up with enough, you know. You tell me where my dog is,
What, Mrs. Gillis? You'll do what, Mrs. Gillis?
Sarah,
what will you do?
Sarah!
She's
Sarah,
gone, it, Mrs. Gillis. I told you that.
You've harmed my dog.
Have I?
You killed her. Oh, poor old Sarah who never heard a thing.
She would have heard me.
You're bad, Howard. You're wicked. You're wicked. You're a coward.
I'm not
a coward,
Mrs. Gillis.
Yes, you are.
Cowards are afraid to kill.
Only a coward would kill a poor old dog.
Well, if I were a coward, I'd be afraid of you, and I'm not afraid of you.
Now, you let me out of here. Let me out.
I have strong hands, Mrs. Gillis. My fingers are like steel.
I've never harmed you.
No, and Sarah didn't either, but she would have if I hadn't harmed her first.
Let me out of here!
You're getting
let
very noisy,
out.
Mrs. Gillis. Perhaps if I locked you in this closet, you'd calm down a bit.
Howard! Howard! And then I heard the key turn in the lock. For a moment, I had the feeling of unreality. What was this really happening? But I found out soon enough it wasn't a dream. For the dim light from the little square window picked out a limp, lifeless object in the corner among the dusty mops. I knew without looking further what it was. Poor Sarah. Sarah, who never harmed a soul.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense, an episode called To Find Help, starring Frank Sinatra along with Agnes Moorehead from 1945. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, Lisa Wolf, my co-host, Mike Costella, executive producer in front of me, and in the booth, in the glass booth over there, is the one and only Shane Reardon. And Shane has never seen Silence of the Lambs.
No, but we're going to fix that.
Yeah.
He's young.
No, you won't.
We're going to bring you.
I'm not going to fix it.
I'm not going to watch it.
I'm going to bring you a beta tape of it. How does that sound? I probably have a beta tape of it somewhere.
Yeah, and I definitely have like 4 or 5 beta tape players.
Yeah,
just Betamax.
Right, no
ready,
so. Yeah, Betamax.
Yeah, I have those.
Shane is very young. I forget. We're working with a 24-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just got out of diapers last week.
Right, yeah. it feels
big
that
moment
way.
For me and my family.
Well, you're just a mature guy. We lean on you to get
Thank
the
you.
Show on the air, and you're so buttoned up, and you don't seem like you're so. I mean, how old are you?
24. Right?
24.
Yeah, he's a baby. He's a baby.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
24. That was 5 years ago for me.
It's a long time ago.
Long time ago.
At least 6.
Yeah. For you, how long ago, Lisa?
82 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. You look good.
Thanks. Yeah. Except for the Not deep bad. Dimples in my cheek. I'm
well, I told
great.
You, there's a putty that you could put in there and just, you know, putty, what do you call that?
Get like, what are those,
what
fill
that?
Injections
Spackle.
Or something?
Spackle.
Yeah, Roger. There you go.
I'm sure they have an injection for that.
I have stock in spackle. I use it a lot.
Yeah, you do have some pretty deep dimples there. Those are deep. Well, you're always smiling. That's what it is. She's a smile. She's the woman with a smile in her voice. We always said this
They're
about
They're
there
Lisa. When I don't smile.
The very first time, so we should just, we got a minute or two. The very first time Lisa and I met, Lisa came out to audition because she's an actress. Very good one, too. She came out to audition for a Twilight Zone radio episode that I was producing.
Yes, I did.
And Lisa came out.
Wait, I got lost.
Yeah, she got lost.
I always get lost.
She called me, and I answered the phone. And we're waiting for an actress to show up. You know, we're ready to go here. And she calls and she's laughing. I'm lost. I don't know where I am. She's laughing.
It was confusing.
I'm like, what? And I thought, she's got a great voice. I can't wait to meet her. So she comes in and she did a great job on the show. And then she stuck around and we started talking. And I was just about starting a radio show, not this one, but a different one. And then we hit it off, and I said, you should come and hang out because I'm thinking I want a co-host for that show. And she told me how fascinated she has always been with radio.
That is true.
Broadcasting, and she calls in all the radio stations, and you still do. You call in to win things.
I do. I don't call WGN. But any other radio station's
Why?
Fair game.
You should call WGN.
Because I can't win.
Can't
what
win.
Am I going to win? A $25 gift card?
I guess.
What is like the last thing that you've won by calling out like a radio show contest thingy?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
All right, fair enough.
So, Carl, you met Lisa when she was auditioning for Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Lisa and I met when we were auditioning for teen drama Twilight, the Battle of the Vampires and the Werewolves.
That's right.
Yeah,
Twilight. Yeah, because
yes.
You're an actor and you're an actor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Both are actors on
yes.
That. Well, yeah, it was cool, and then Lisa came out for the first broadcast of that other show.
And I pretty much never left.
And I just said, this girl's something. She's great. She is amazing.
Well, I did bring food, so that should always help.
Well, that's what I mean.
I was very good at ordering food.
And we have been together ever since. It
was
2009, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
2009.
Early 2009.
And we've been co-hosting radio shows since then.
Yeah, it seems like
and
just yesterday.
It's an honor for me, Lisa.
Well, it's an honor for
All
me,
right.
Carl.
In that case, let's get back to Frank Sinatra starring in To Find Help on Suspense.
I don't know how long he kept me there. I could hear him moving about the house, but he finally came back. He spoke to me through the door.
Have you calmed down, Mrs. Gillis?
Yes, Howard. Yes. Let me out.
Why?
Well, because it's warm in here. Because I want to get out.
You were looking for your dog, weren't you?
Well, never mind about that, Howard. Just let me out.
You know, Mrs. Gillis, if I kept you in there, you wouldn't be able to spy on me ever again.
I won't spy on you, Howard. Please let me out.
Do you know what I've been doing, Mrs. Gillis?
No.
I've been doing your den floors just like you asked me to.
And that's fine, Howard.
It was fine being able to work peacefully, knowing that you were someplace where you couldn't bother me.
I won't bother you, Howard.
It was very peaceful. Nobody to bother me.
Let me out, Howard.
Will you promise to do as I tell you?
Yes, I promise.
Anything?
Anything.
Very well, then. Now, No tricks.
No.
Feel my hands, Mrs. Gillis.
He held them out before him. They were thin, weird-looking hands. Then he turned them over slowly, and he looked down at them.
Are they nice hands, Mrs. Gillis?
Yes. Yes, they're nice hands.
But you haven't felt them.
I knew better than to argue, and I forced myself to take hold of one of them. It was icy cold, and the floor wax had made it sticky.
Have your sons as nice hands as these?
Oh, no. No, they haven't.
But they got into the army, didn't they? I'm just as good as they are, you know.
Oh, of course you are, Howard. Wouldn't you like some food, lad? You haven't eaten all day, you know.
Some food would be good.
Let me fix you some.
Mrs. Gillis, you know, a woman I worked for once said my hands were weak.
She did?
Yeah, but she soon found out, however.
Well, here. Here, now, lad, I have some nice cold roast in the icebox.
I taught her a lesson.
And it'll only take me a minute to fix some salad.
Are your son's hands strong, Mrs. Gillis?
Not as strong as yours, Howard. I'll set the table right away.
Mrs. Gillis, feel my hands again. They're like steel, you know.
I finally managed to get some lunch on the table, and Howard sat beside me. He didn't say much, and he ate very little. I tried to appear casual, to engage him in a conversation, just anything. Do you work often, Howard?
Not often.
Well, did you have trouble finding jobs?
Well, people are anxious to find help these days, weren't you?
Yes, to find help.
Mrs. Gillis, they're looking for me.
Who, Howard?
Well, I don't know exactly. The people I worked for last, I guess.
Well, was that here, in this town?
Oh, no, it was in another town. Everyone was looking for me, so I went away. It was horrible to be spied upon, Mrs. Gillis. Do you know what it is to be spied upon?
No, I don't.
Would you like to know?
No, I wouldn't, Howard.
I think I'll spy on you for the rest of the day so that you'll know how it feels.
No, Howard, whatever it is you want, just take it and go away.
There's
just...
nothing I want, Mrs. Gillis. I only want to stay here with you.
I can't stand it, Howard, I can't. I am an old woman. Now, please go away and leave me alone.
I'm not going away, please. Mrs. Gillis. There's still a job to be done. I'll go away after I've done everything that's to be done.
Howard, I have some money here in my pocket. I got it upstairs for you. It's a great deal, and I'll give it to you.
I don't want your money, Mrs. Gillis.
Well, then go away.
That would be foolish. Then you'd tell on
me. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't really, Howard. Go away, and I'll never tell a soul that you've been here. I won't tell a soul.
I don't believe you, Mrs. Gillis, and I don't trust you. There's only one way of being certain that you won't tell, and that...
My heart jumped. For when I looked out the window, I saw that it was a milkman. Howard moved quickly to the window with me.
Tell him to go away.
I can't. I've ordered some extra things.
Then go into the storeroom until he goes.
I can't, Howard. He knows I'm here, and he'll expect me to pay him.
You promised to do as I told you. Now, will you tell him to go away?
Howard, if I tell him to go, he'll think something's wrong, and then you'll get caught for sure.
All right, Mrs. Gillis. Take whatever you've ordered, but if you pull any tricks, you'll be sorry.
He opened the cabinet drawer, and I saw him take a knife out. Without another word, he stepped back between the stove and the wall, but he was still within easy reach of me. Oh, my hands were shaking. The milkman knocked as usual at the window over the sink. Just a moment.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Gillis.
Good afternoon.
Lovely day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Miss Gillis, I think I have good news for you.
Well, you have?
Yeah. Beginning the first, I think we're getting some badly needed help. In the future, your deliveries will be made in the early morning.
Well, that's nice. I
don't believe you ever did like these late deliveries, did you?
Well, I had never really minded.
Well, if all our customers were like you, Miss Gillis, it wouldn't be such a bad world. Here you are. One quart of milk, a pint of half and half. Bye, Miss Gillis.
But the extra things, you forgot them.
The extra things?
Yes, the extra things. Now, don't tell me you've forgotten the eggs and the butter.
I'll get them right away.
Mrs. Gillis, I'm going to give you one more chance. When he comes back, you're going to get rid of him. Do you hear? And if you give me away, I'm going to kill you. I'll kill you before he can get inside this house, and I don't care what happens to
him. I won't give you away, Howard. I won't give you away. I'll only pay him. I have to do this.
Shut up and remember...
Well, here you are, Miss Gillis.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, that's all.
Miss Gillis, I'm sorry,
I can't stop to talk to Danbury. Oh, I stood for a moment behind the stove. His eyes were blazing. Then he spoke without moving.
You're very clever, aren't you, Mrs. Gillis?
What do you mean?
You thought you were going to put something over on me, didn't you?
I sent him away, didn't I?
The extra things you ordered.
There weren't.
Yes, there were. There were. You saw him. You heard him.
He didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, the milkman had returned. Oh, he stood out right away. Howard looked at me, and I saw his knuckles go up. And he clutched his knife.
This is your last chance. Get rid of him.
Yes, I will. I will, Howard. I will.
Sorry to bother you again, Miss Gillis, but you forgot the points on the butter.
Oh, yes. Yes, the ration point. Here you are.
Sorry I had to bother you, Miss Gillis, but you see, I have
yes,
to look.
Yes, I'm busy. Can't you see I'm busy?
Tell me when he's gone, Mrs. Gillis.
I stood by the window and watched. He got into his truck, and then he drove off.
So that was your scheme, was it? So you wanted to give me away.
He's gone now, Howard.
You thought he'd save you, didn't you?
No. No, I sent him away like you asked me.
Do you know what would have happened to me?
I sent him away.
Do you? They would have taken me away.
Howard, leave me alone.
I'm going to punish you.
No, Howard, I've been punished.
No, you haven't.
Standing very close now. And I knew he still held a knife. And suddenly, everything was black. And I stripped to the floor. When I came to, I was in a den, on the den floor. My head throbbed. Then I remembered everything. I laid there for a moment. Listen. Then I heard a sound. A soft, swishing sound. Suddenly, the hall clock began to strike. Why, it was five. I'd been unconscious for longer than I'd thought. I sat up. The room had already turned dark in the late afternoon light. But I could see him now. He stood in the middle of the room. He was pushing my heavy floor polisher back and forth. Back.
What time is it, Mrs. Gillis?
About five.
Well, I guess I'll call it a day now. I've done a nice job, haven't I?
Yes, Howard. Very nice.
I think I'll be going now.
I got to my feet. He paid no attention. He picked up his coat, which he'd placed over a chair when he'd taken it from the storeroom. Then he looked at the floor again.
Doesn't it shine nicely, Mrs. Gillis?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Was it worth $5 to you?
Oh, yes, Howard.
I have nice hands, haven't I, Mrs. Gillis?
Yes, Howard, you have. Here, take the money.
Thank you. You know, it's a pity they have to be used to polish floors.
You've done such a good job, Howard. I'm going to give you a few extra dollars.
Thank you. Will you be needing me tomorrow, Mrs. Gillis?
No, thank you, Howard.
The door is locked, Mrs. Gillis.
Yes, Howard. Do you have a key?
Yes, I do. I just remembered. I just remembered a lot of things. Mrs. Gillis, there's someone at the door.
Yes, Howard. Will you open it?
Well, should I?
Yes, Howard, you have the key.
I have? This it, Mrs. Gillis?
Yes, it is. Open the door. Open the door, Howard. Open it.
All right, Mrs. Gillis.
Hello. I'm Mr. Stevens of the phone company. Your phone's been reported out all day. I'm sorry we couldn't get around any sooner, but we're really swamped.
Mrs. Gillis, is your phone out of order?
No, there must be some mistake.
Well, now, that's strange. We've had several reports. Maybe I better run back and check my books in the truck.
Just a moment, Mr. Stevens. Could you do me a favor?
Well, certainly.
This boy...
Mrs. Gillis...
This boy, he's worked here all day. He's done a good job, but I don't think he's well.
I'm all right, Mrs. Gillis.
Oh, but you're tired, aren't you? Aren't you tired, Howard? Doesn't your head ache?
Yes. Yes, I am tired.
And my head does ache.
Well, maybe Mr. Stevens will be kind enough to drive you to the car line.
Sure, I'll be glad to, Mrs. Gillis, but I can't wait long.
Well, right away, and I'll go along, too. I have some marketing to do. And, Mr. Stevens, as long as you're here, would you mind checking the phone just to make sure?
Of course.
I'll show you where it is.
Can I show him, Mrs. Gillis?
No, no, Howard, you wait here. We'll be right back. I moved quickly towards the den. Mr. Stevens followed me. Once inside, I closed the door behind us. He spotted the ripped wires at once.
Say, this fo-
Boy, that man is dangerous. Drive us to the police station as fast as you can. Where is... Howard! Howard! We've got to find him. We can't let him get away.
We'll take the truck. Come on.
But when we reached the car, I suddenly saw him. He was sitting in the front seat with his coat folded neatly over his lap.
Were you looking for me, Mrs. Gillis?
Yes, Howard. Yes, I was. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready. It's very kind of you to do this for me. I'm very tired. I can't seem to remember things.
Well, don't try to, Howard.
Well, we all ready?
All ready, Mr. Stevens.
All ready, Mr. Stevens.
And so closes To Find Help, starring Frank Sinatra and Agnes Moorehead. Tonight's study in suspense. Suspense is produced, edited, and directed by William Spear.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That is Suspense, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense, with To Find Help, starring Frank Sinatra. At the end there, you heard The Man in Black. That's Joseph Kearns. And for a picture of Joseph Kearns, if you ever watched Dennis the Menace, the television series, he was Mr. Wilson on that program. And Agnes Moorehead co-starring in that episode of Suspense. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. I don't hear snoring, Mike, so I guess she's up. Is she up? Yeah.
She is awake. She's awake because she's looking at all these texts that are coming in.
Yeah, I like to watch the texts, and I'm watching Roger Badish dance to the music. But most importantly, we love getting the texts from everybody. His head's bobbing back and forth.
Bobble,
and he's got a bright pink shirt on today. Very fluorescent.
Well, it's as close as I can get to golf.
Here's the thing. Real men can wear pink.
You bet. I love
it. And Roger is a real man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. this is the WGN Radio Theater, last time I checked. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning every Saturday and Sunday night. So we don't do this just on Saturday. Make sure that you join us on Sundays, too. We're here 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. on the weekends. This is what we do. We play classic radio shows, and over those two nights, we play six classic radio shows, and we're going to play our third show of this edition, which is episode 65 in the series of the WGN Radio Theater. We're spotlighting the one and only Frank Sinatra, and later tonight, when Lisa and I and Mike come back here, we're going to spotlight Orson Welles. And Orson Welles did a lot of radio, Lisa. Of course, he became very famous with the War of the Worlds broadcast and then his movies, Citizen Kane, and he did all kinds of stuff. But he did a ton of radio. We have three terrific episodes for you in about 20-something hours when we come back here tonight at 11 p.m. This hour, we're going to tune into Frank Sinatra guesting on the Burns and Allen Show, and it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming comedy-horror hybrid Meet the Blacks, which is a spoof of the hit film The Purge.
All right, you can win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. The number to call, 312-981-7200. here is this celebrity. He's not necessarily an actor. He's known for a different type of thing. But he did appear in a movie, and it's a very famous movie from 2009, where they steal his pet tiger in The Hangover.
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
Who was that? You only heard it for a brief second.
I remember the scene so clearly.
312-981-7200. Who is that celebrity? You'll win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. We'll find our winner after this break. I just talked over poor David Plyer.
You like to talk,
oh my
right, Carl?
Gosh. Because I'm bad to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
With Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus.
Let's play some Celebrity Scoop and hear that movie clip again.
Right now.
And we've got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, that would be Iron Mike Tyson.
You are right. You know, he's becoming an actor. This is his...
He voices a cartoon.
Yeah.
I know that. And then he's appearing in these Hangover movies.
Right, and he'll be in Meet the Black. So,
all right, yeah.
So you are a winner. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can check them out at loumalnatis.com. I love that pizza. I hope you enjoy it too, Steve.
Oh, I certainly do.
Great, and thanks a lot for calling in and listening.
Oh, no, I love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. All right. It is time for our comedy, because you said people want comedy.
That's what they tell me.
You know, comedy tonight, remember?
Yeah, keep going.
I don't know. Comedy, okay. comedy tonight.
Good
all right,
one.
So we have Burns and Allen, George Burns and Gracie Allen. They were, of course, married in real life, and they started in vaudeville. And they got their radio show because they were appearing on the Eddie Cantor and Guy Lombardo shows. And then when they went away for the summer season, they kind of just stuck around and got their own radio show. That's how that worked. And then they transitioned to the movies and television. They were big, big stars in all of the mediums, okay? And we have them now on radio. This is going back to November 7th, 1946. George Burns and Gracie Allen star, and their special guest is Frank Sinatra. You will hear Mel Blanc as the Happy Postman. This is sponsored by Maxwell House Coffee, as heard on NBC. Part one now of the Burns and Allen Show.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House coffee time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. Yours truly, Bill Goodwin, the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, our happy postman, and our special guest, star of the old gold show, Frank Sinatra. For your Thursday night comedy enjoyment is George and Gracie. It's morning in the Burns home, and Gracie, the housewife, has cleared away the breakfast dishes. Now Gracie, the newspaper columnist, is ready to clear away the problems of the world.
My, the paper is full of news this morning. I hardly know which item to explain to the readers of my column.
You explain the news to them?
Oh, yes. Everyone doesn't have my uncanny grasp of world affairs. I'm not the average person, George.
That I've known for years.
Some people have the minds of children, and it's my duty to guide them.
I see.
What would you like to know, dear?
Not a thing. Nothing at all.
Now, you take the elections last Tuesday. Do you realize how confused those poor Republicans must be who got elected? I'll bet some of them wind up in Seattle and Tacoma.
Seattle and Tacoma?
Yes. They've been out so long, they won't know which Washington to go to.
A shrewd observation.
Well, so much for politics. Now let's turn to football.
Now, Gracie, you know nothing about football.
I don't, eh? Well, I can show Army a trick play that'll beat Notre Dame.
What?
Well, just before the game, Army drafts all the Notre Dame players.
I wouldn't let that get around.
So much for football. Let's turn to the entertainment news.
Oh, no.
Oh, listen to this. Artie Shaw is honeymooning with Kathleen Windsor, the girl who wrote Forever Amber. Well, as usual, the man gets all the breaks.
What do you mean?
Well, he can have a wonderful time reading her book, but what if she can't play the clarinet?
I wouldn't let it worry me.
Oh, here's an interesting item. Frank Sinatra is going to sing at the Waldorf Hotel in New York.
The kid really gets plenty of work.
Yeah. And I can't understand it. Well, you're twice the singer he is.
Oh, Gracie.
Oh, I realize it's not his fault. He gets tones that are thin and hollow because his chest is thin and hollow. But you get tones that are low and round because
your
chest...
Don't finish it. It's more like a flash.
That hotel should have hired you to sing.
Though April showers may come your way, they bring flowers that bloom in May.
Oh, you murder, Jack, murder. Oh, those golden notes will come pouring out of you like Democrats out of Congress. Oh, excuse me, dear, I'll see who's at the door.
Good morning, Missy Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman. Uh-oh. A bill from the butcher shop. Guess there's another installment due on that pound of bacon we bought.
Prices are high, aren't they?
Yes. And I could use more money. And that's what annoys me about George. My husband could be a big movie star.
Don't tell me you're still trying to get him to replace Clark Gable.
Well, wouldn't George be perfect for the Hucksters?
I didn't read the book. What's it all about?
Well, it's about radio advertising, Mr. Postman.
Oh, I love radio advertising. It's 5 o'clock. Time, take time.
Say, that's right. Most radio advertising is sung these days, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Langendorf is just a bed for you. Bed for you. Bed for you. Bed for you.
Oh, Mr. Postman.
Mm-hmm. That oxidol spark.
Mr. Postman, you've given me an idea. The man who plays the lead in the Hucksters will have to be a singer.
So?
So, this makes George the logical choice. The man doesn't breathe who can sing better than George Burns.
How about Frank Sinatra?
Well, I can't quite decide.
If he's better?
No, if he breathes.
Well, I'm glad I cheered you up, Missy Burns.
Oh, I'm eternally grateful to you, Mr. Postman. Thanks to you, George will make the picture. Would you like to see the sneak preview?
No, just tell him hello for me. Well, goodbye, Missy Burns. You remember, keep smiling.
Oh, George, George, come here.
What is it, Gracie? What are you so excited about?
Oh, George, fate has played right into your throat.
Hmm?
Clark Gable is automatically eliminated from the Hucksters. The leading man will have to be a singer.
How come?
Well, it's all about radio advertising. And that's nothing but singing commercials.
Say, that's right.
Get your hat. You're going right over to MBM and audition.
MBM?
After they hear you sing, it'll be Metro Burns Mayor.
Okay, I'll do April showers for them. Gee, I hope I don't get excited and forget the words.
Well, I'll be there to prompt you, darling.
Though April showers may come your way.
What do they bring, George? Do they bring weeds, dandelions?
They bring the flowers that bloom in May. And though it's raining...
Well, what's your attitude toward that precipitation?
Have no regrets.
Why this astonishing view of the matter?
Because it is raining rain, you know. It's raining violets. And when you see clouds...
Where?
Up on a hill.
What are they?
You only see crowds...
Yes?
...of daffodils.
Would you like me to keep my eyes peeled for some type of bird?
So keep looking for a bluebird and listening for his own.
When, George, During the dry season?
Whenever.
During the summer?
Whenever, Rachel.
During the winter?
Whenever.
January?
When?
February?
When?
March?
Oh,
quiet.
Whenever April showers come on.
Short? Medium?
Long.
Oh, and people think Sinatra can sing.
Why, hey, that's right, Sinatra. We haven't got a chance.
Why, what do you mean?
He's under contract to MGM. If it's going to be a musical, they'll use him.
But you're better than Sinatra.
I know, but he's under contract. If you had a plumber living in your house, would you call in an outsider to fix a drip? Frankie's in and I'm out.
Well, we'll take care of that. So, Mr. Sinatra's the plumber, is he? Thinks he can handle a drip, does he? Well, he hasn't met George Burns.
I should say not.
Well, here you are, Gracie. This is Frank Sinatra's house.
Oh, thanks for driving me over, Meredith. How did you find his house so easily?
All us members of the Sinatra fan club know where Frankie Boy lives.
You're a member?
Sure. Kind of wish they hadn't passed that rule that at meetings everyone had to wear sweater skirts and bobby socks. I felt a little conspicuous.
Oh, I should think you would.
Yeah, one of my bobby socks had a hole in it.
Well, thanks again, Meredith. I'm going in now and convince Frankie that he should leave town.
What for?
Well, so his studio won't be able to reach him, and they'll have to let George play the lead in that picture.
Oh, well, good luck. Oh, Gracie, don't forget your package.
Oh, yes, that's some baby clothes. A little gift for Frankie's boy. If my first plan fails, I can always soften him up with that. Goodbye, Meredith.
Bye.
Oh, now, let's see. I'll tell Frankie that he should get out of town for a rest. I'll convince him that he looks tired and weak. Thank goodness I have nature on my side.
Yes? Oh, hello, Gracie.
Hello, little boy. I'd like to see Frank Sinatra.
Gracie, don't you recognize me? I'm Frank Sinatra.
Boy, I didn't know you. You've wasted away to nothing.
I have?
Oh, yes, your bones have lost so much weight.
But Gracie...
And your neck, Frankie. Your neck is just hanging there in folds. And it's all covered with spots.
That's my bow tie, Gracie.
Oh. Well, anyway, you ought to get away for a little rest.
Yeah, I have been working pretty hard at that. Maybe I should go away to some resort.
Oh, sure. How about Africa?
Africa?
Oh, you'd love it, Frankie. It's not as crowded as Palm Springs.
Yeah, I know, but
Oh, all the smart people are going there. The Frank Bucks, Tarzan and his mate, Dr. and Mrs. Livingston, I presume.
I'm sorry, Gracie. I'm not going to Africa. Suppose the cannibals grab me.
Well, what if they do? Why should we be the only ones to have a meat shortage?
Well, just the same, I am not going to Africa.
Well, then go to India. Whatever you do, don't stay at MGM.
Don't stay at MGM?
Yes. That's a place in India. Mahatma Gandhi Motel. don't stay there. The rooms are terrible.
Well, first of all, I have no intention of going to India. Excuse me just a moment, Gracie, while I answer the door.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sinatra. Here's your mail.
Thank you, Mr. Postman.
You want to hear something funny?
What's that?
They're going to make a big musical at your studio, and Mrs. Burns thinks her husband would be better for the lead than you.
Oh. Now I catch on. That's why she's been trying to send me out of town.
If she had succeeded, that would have been bigger news than man bites dog.
How do you mean that?
Woman sends Sinatra. Well, goodbye, Frankie Moy. Remember, keep smiling.
That's Mel Blanc there as the happy postman, Lisa. Keep smiling. Right? You like that? On the Burns and Allen show.
I thought you were teasing me because one of our listeners texted and said, did you know that dimples are birth defects? So I'm not feeling good about myself right now.
Well, you know.
Am I full of birth defects on each side of my face?
Just
one on each cheek.
I told you, spackle. That's fix it up. And you mean your face will be a little stiff for a while.
Right.
A little spackle. Take care of that little putty. Just fill it right in.
Kind of liked the birth defects until a few minutes ago.
Nah, I think it looks good on you. That's because you smile so much.
Right? You're I'm happy smiling. To be at WGN,
That's why
Carl.
Lisa brushes her teeth more than anybody I know.
Not as much as you do.
No, I think you probably...
We're pretty equal.
Pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm all about the water pick. Lisa got me a water pick a couple of years ago. And man, that thing
changes your life.
Let me tell you something.
Between the toothbrush and the water pick and the tongue brusher.
The tongue brusher.
It's all good.
But the water pick is amazing. This thing is amazing. And I'll tell you what, we should get the water pick.
We should get them as a sponsor.
As a sponsor of this show because
we talk about it all the time.
We really do use the water pick.
Yes.
It's
daily.
I'm telling you, I don't know what I did without the water pick.
You had dirty teeth maybe.
No,
huh?
I didn't, but it makes them... that much cleaner.
Right, which is a very attractive trait.
I look forward to that water pick pretty much every single night before I go to bed. I use it.
WGN Radio Theater, the official radio theater show of all dental hygienists.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And then I have a mouth guard. I put that in there before I go to bed.
That I don't
do. I got a mouth guard.
I don't need to guard my
mouth.
I'm
all about the teeth, man.
Why do you have a mouth guard?
What's that, Roger?
Do you use Ipana toothpaste?
No, I don't use Ipana toothpaste. Brush up. Remember that? Brush up. I use Ipana, something like that. No, I'm trying to think. I think I use what's ever on sale, pretty much. I'm a kind of a frugal shopper. Right, Lisa? Lisa lives
frugal.
In a mansion. She doesn't worry about any of that stuff. See? She's got a mansion, drives a Bentley.
Yeah.
She just,
that's right.
She goes there and loads up. She doesn't look at the prices.
I am loyal.
Right, Shane? And if you give her something, she'll take it right back.
She picked me up today before the show in her Rolls Royce.
Yeah, she has two
borrowing
Rolls's,
it.
And then on the weekends, she drives the Lamborghini.
She was borrowing it from her 14-year-old son.
Yes, well, he drives it illegally, but that's okay. And soon I'm going to get the convertible model.
Yeah.
That's
oh, man. I got the Yugo. My Yugo's the...
all revved up for you.
2004 Yugo. It's working pretty good.
Do you
want
to know what my first car was?
What?
And this is a true story.
What?
You probably don't even know what it is, Shane. A Pacer. That was my
first. I know what a Pacer is.
Do you?
Sure.
It was a silver Pacer.
I'm 24, not an idiot.
I don't know. You're so young. I don't know. They don't have Pacers anymore.
No. What color was it?
It was Chevy, silver.
Right?
It was
Pacer
a silver
Chevy?
Pacer.
I don't know. And inside it had like a red Indian print pattern on the seat. So it was really, really, really attractive.
Well... I remember this song.
Yeah.
I was probably 15 and you were 25, 30
something
when it came
like
out.
That.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you got it.
Remember this. Who sings this? Who is this? Earth, Wind, and Fire or something like that?
Stevie Wonder, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Stevie Wonder. Yeah, see, Roger knew it. He's got the bobblehead thing going there again.
All I see is a big pink, big pink shirt.
You can make bobbleheads of anybody. We should get one for Roger.
Should
we? Oh my God, that would be hilarious.
It'd be hilarious, wouldn't
we'll
it?
Yes.
I'm going to make sure it has a pink shirt, too.
You've got to be holding a microphone or something.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it, Lisa?
Yeah.
And then we'll get one with huge dimples in it for
Thank
you.
Thank you, with my birth defects showing.
and a jar of spackle.
Thanks a lot.
So, Roger, they gave Lisa a new toy over here.
Oh, no.
She's manning the texts that come in.
Oh.
And somebody just texted, it's an AMC Pacer, just so we
AMC
know.
AMC Pacer.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for that.
She is so excited.
Mm-hmm.
She might spontaneously combust over here.
It's too, my dimples are showing.
I know her dimples.
She is so excited about this texting thing. I've never, she can handle technology. Text, I had a BlackBerry for a while, and then Lisa talked me out of the BlackBerry. She was like, you got to go to the iPhone, and I'm glad you did.
I like
the iPhone, although I don't have even one app on this.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to text. I had a BlackBerry. I didn't know how to text.
Yeah, but you know why you had to push? Did you have to push the button multiple times to get different letters?
Remember,
it was that old.
I don't remember now because my brain has so much stuff in it. So much
classic radio.
It has a lot of classic radio information, so I don't remember things well. But the I remember people were texting, and you know everybody was texting, and they're like, "Hey, text me," and I'm like, "I don't know how."
Well, you've learned.
Now I know how to text. Yeah,
you're a good texter.
There are a few
Carl.
Things I can do technologically.
You're excellent texter.
Thanks a lot. All right, so we've been listening to this Burns and Allen show. I think we should get right back to it. Why don't we? Right?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay, let's go back to a broadcast date of November 7th, 1946. Here's Frank Sinatra guesting on the Burns and Allen show.
Oh, Gracie, I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, yes, Frankie, what is it?
Wanting me to go to Africa and India, that had nothing to do with putting George in a picture, did it?
Putting George in a picture? What? Who told you?
The postman told me. Is it true?
Yes, Frankie. I can't look into your sweet, innocent, boyish face and lie to you. Not when I know you've been tipped off.
Gracie, tell me, do you really think George is a better singer than I am?
Oh, well, let's face it, Frankie, he is. I realize they call you the voice, but wait till I tell you what they call George.
Please, Gracie, there are children in the house.
They call George Sugar Throat.
Oh.
Of course, in fairness to you, I haven't heard you sing lately. Oh, why don't you run through a number right now so I can make a comparison?
Okay. When I was a young man courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If ever a maid refused me with curls, I let the old earth take a couple of words while I plied her with tears in lieu of pearls. And as time came around, she came my way. As time came around, she came. For it's a long, long while, from May to December, but the days grow short. When you reach September and the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, and I haven't got time for the waiting game. The day September, November, and these few precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you. Well, what did you think of it, Gracie?
Well, Frank, before you sang, I thought maybe George was better, but now that I've heard you...
Yes?
I'm sure of it.
Well, even so, but I can't understand why you'd go to such lengths to get George a job.
Well, no, I guess you don't understand how a woman feels. Well, goodbye, Frankie.
Oh, wait a minute. You forgot your package. Here, I'll... Oh, I'm sorry, Gracie, I dropped it. Why, Gracie... It's baby clothes.
Yes, I know. I didn't tell you before, but I...
You're gonna have a baby.
I see it all now. You wanted George to have the job for the baby's sake.
Yes.
That's wonderful. You wanted the little fellow to grow up and be proud of his daddy.
Yes.
What if you did resort to trickery? You were prompted by that noblest of all emotions, mother love.
Yes.
Gracie, you've helped me see the light.
Well, you've been pretty big help yourself.
Just wait till my wife hears this. Hey, Ned! Hey, Nancy! Oh, that's right. She can't hear me from here. She's in the den listening to Crosby records. But we'll...
Well, Frank, now that you know everything, George can do the picture, can't he?
You bet he can. Yes, sirree. Bye, George. Gracie, maybe we've got some baby things that you can use.
Well,
You tell Nancy to give you those three-cornered pants she put in my shirt drawer. I'd be glad to get rid of them, believe me.
No, Frankie, the baby things are enough. We can't take your clothes, too.
Well, you talk to Nancy. She's right there in the den.
Oh, all right. Thanks for everything.
What am I waiting for? I gotta go over and congratulate George. He's gonna have a baby.
Well, I'll be done. Here comes Frank Sinatra up the walk. I wonder if Gracie talked him into letting me have the picture. Come in.
George, old man, congratulations.
You mean Gracie talked to you and I'm going to have it?
You sure are, kid.
Well, this is just a start. If the first one turns out all right, I may go on a regular schedule of two a year.
Two a year?
Yeah.
Oh, but George, you can't do that.
Sure I can. All I have to do is sing a couple of songs.
Well, to each his own.
But those are in the future. Let's talk about this one. I hope it's as good as your last one, Frankie.
Yeah, I was kind of proud of that one myself.
Say, I don't remember. Was that one Technicolor?
Technicolor? Well, yes, George, in a way, yes. You see, it was sort of red in spots. But your baby will be, too, you know.
Baby? What baby?
The baby Gracie's gonna have.
Oh, that baby. What? My wife was gonna have a baby?
You mean you didn't know?
Of course I didn't know. She didn't tell me.
Oh, but George, you should have guessed it. Haven't you noticed her acting rather strangely?
Frank, if acting strangely meant Gracie was gonna have a baby, I'd be Papa Dion.
Well, sir, now you know, George. That's why Gracie is so anxious for you to play the lead in that picture. He wants you to make good for Junior.
Jeez.
Well, George, I think that... Oh, Frankie, you're here.
Honey, Frankie just told me you're going to have a baby.
Well, so he told me. I mean, so I told him.
Jeez, you mean I'm going to be a father?
It's a police
and you're going to be a mother?
Home and
well, isn't that the usual arrangement?
Me, a father. Gee, huh? I'm all excited. Here, sweetheart, have a cigar. No, I mean, like, how about a kiss, Frankie? No. I mean, have a cigar, Frankie.
Oh, calm down, George.
Hello? I mean, come in.
Hello, Burnses.
Well, Frankie boy.
Hiya, Bill.
Hey, you want to dig some great news? George is going to be a father.
Yeah. Have a cigar, Bill.
Gracie, are you expecting the stork?
Oh, goodness, no. A baby.
Well, this is wonderful. Congratulations. George, I hope the kid has Gracie's looks and your brain.
Thanks.
No. I hope it has Gracie's brains and your looks.
Oh.
No. Look, is it too late to call this whole thing off?
Never mind the funny stuff.
But, George, you know, you just don't look like a father.
I think he looks like a great father.
I think he looks grand.
Well, now you got it. He looks like a great grandfather.
Well, Frank Sinatra thinks he looks all right. He's recommending George for the lead in a picture.
Frankie, why didn't you recommend me? After all, I made you what you are today. What? Bad English, but it's true. I'm the one who started the girls going, ooh, when you sang.
Yeah, how come?
Well, I stood behind you and held up a cup of Maxwell House coffee. Naturally, the girls went, ooh. It was hot, yes. Maxwell House is the very best in coffee drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee sold.
Oh, but Bill, you wouldn't do for the picture because it's a musical. It's for singers like George and Frankie.
Oh, well, I can't sing like George. I can sing exactly like Frankie. The music stopped. But we kept on dancing.
Oh, Bill. Nobody would say that sounds like Frank Sinatra.
Terry Como would.
Well, now, wait a minute. I can make it sound twice as good by putting some real lyrics in it. Listen to this. The coffee drip. It's a different key, isn't it?
So.
That Maxwell House coffee.
You may hear from my lawyer in the morning, sir. I'd rather hear 5 minutes more myself.
Well, it won't take me that long to tell you that Maxwell House is great, Frank. You see, the careful selection and blending of choice Latin American coffees plus radiant roasting give Maxwell House that famous flavor. In fact, it's so wonderful that it's bought by more people than any other brand of coffee at any price. Everybody knows that Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
Well, you can just relax, Bill. George's got to make the picture. Just wait till his golden voice comes pouring through that screen.
Well, it can't, Gracie. Gravel won't go through a screen.
So you think I can sing, eh, comic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, April showers, we come your way.
Oh! That's showing him, George. That's Mama's little songbird.
Songbird?
What? Sometimes I think a titwillow flew down his throat.
Tell him, Gracie, tell him.
And it built a nest there and is raising a family.
Talk to him, talk to him.
Yeah. And every time George opens his mouth, another egg hatches.
Hold him, honey.
Ah, you're solid, Jackson. The movies will pay millions for your voice.
Oh, April showers
make come. Save it, Jack. Don't waste that stuff. No.
Well, come on, George. Let's get over to the studio, and I'll introduce you to the right people.
Well, I'll get my... Come in. Hello, all. Hello, Meredith. Have a cigar.
Oh, Meredith, have you met Frank Sinatra?
Not formally, but we have met.
We have?
Yes. Remember the time those Bobby Soxers mobbed you in Glendale and started tearing your clothes off?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I had to jump over the fence to get away.
Well, I got the part of your suit that went over the fence last.
Meredith, I'm sorry, but we haven't time to visit with you now. Frank is taking George to the studio to get started on that picture.
Oh, that gift for Frankie's baby did it, huh?
What gift?
Goodbye, Meredith.
No, the baby clothes for your little boy.
That was for my baby?
Goodbye, Meredith. I hear your sister calling you.
My sister's in Mason City, Iowa.
Loud voice, hasn't she? Well, goodbye, Meredith.
Just a minute, Gracie. Something tells me you are not going to have a baby at all.
I'm not going to have a baby? Well, it almost worked.
Gracie, you mean I'm not going to be a father?
I'm afraid not.
Boys, give me back my cigar.
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Our guest will be Luella Parsons. And the following week, Clark Gable. Frank Sinatra appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. See him soon until the clouds roll by.
Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have it. The Burns and Allen Show, November 7th, 1946, George Burns and Gracie Allen with special guest Frank Sinatra, sponsored by Maxwell House Coffee, is heard on NBC. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.